I get asked a lot of questions, but not actually the ones that you'd think. Rarely does anyone ask me what happened at the Council of Ephesus in 431. A fight broke out, I know. You could ask me later about it if you wanted. Rarely does anybody ask me what happened at the Finance Council meeting a few weeks ago. Most of the questions are pretty simple. It goes like this. Does it bother you to have to wear the same thing every day? Are you allowed to wear, like, regular clothes? Every vocation event I go to, that's always the question. Do you have to wear that all the time? Anyway, it's always one of the questions. But my favorite of these questions, which, interestingly enough, I get asked at least once a year, my favorite of these questions begins this way. Since you only work on weekends, what do you do the rest of the week? But sometimes the questions are a little more pointed. Sometimes they're a little more personal. Are you ever lonely, Father? Do you ever feel isolated, Father? Those are more than questions of history and clothing, aren't they? Those are questions you can't run from too easily. Those are the questions that we all have an answer to. And ultimately, those are the questions that we all have to answer. Adam was alone in the garden, but then the Lord gave him some animals to name. But Adam still felt like he was alone in the garden, and the Lord created Eve. That beautiful scene when Adam first sees Eve and says, "At last, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, at last." And Adam wasn't alone. But when Eve was in the garden alone, the serpent came to tempt her. When King David was alone in the palace and he gazed on the rooftop of his neighbor, he embraced temptation and sin. When the Lord Jesus was alone in the desert and later in the garden, the devil came to tempt him. Temptation, it seems, often finds us and searches for us in isolation and in loneliness. But we weren't created for isolation and loneliness. We certainly experience them. We certainly suffer from them. Sometimes the people who are supposed to be there with us are the ones who place us in isolation and separate us. The ones who are supposed to gather us are the ones who separate us. We experience it. We suffer from it. We fight against it. But we weren't created for isolation and loneliness. We were created for something else. We were created for something better. Because God was not alone when we were created. We are not the result of the Lord God looking for company. We were not created as the answer to the question if God was lonely and isolated. Because from all eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have lived in perfect harmony, perfect blessedness, and perfect communion. Nothing is needed. Nothing is lacking. There is no loneliness. There is no isolation. There is only love. The Trinity needs absolutely nothing for blessedness, happiness, and perfect communion and harmony. And yet we exist. Because from that love and for that love, we were created. We are not needed, we are wanted. We are not needed, but we are loved. We are not needed, but we are desired by the God of heaven and earth. For God created us not for isolation and loneliness, but for communion with Him and with creation and with each other. You see, the tragedy of sin, the echo of the no of Adam and Eve, fractures that communion. It damages those relationships. It leaves us at times in isolation and in loneliness, but the triumph of God's grace, the echo of the yes of Mary, the ever-present reality of the yes of the Lord Jesus, and the continual yes of the church to her Lord, my yes and yours, draws us bit by bit and day by day, and moment by moment, into that communion for which we were created. The Lord Jesus, who conquered sin and death by the blood of his cross, desires to conquer our loneliness and our isolation. And now, as he draws us into the mystery of the Eucharist, into that holy communion where the choirs of angels and the citizens of heaven above sing in exultation, we admit our need. We admit our loneliness and our isolation. We cast the brokenness of our hearts into the fires of his Sacred Heart. And as we do, Jesus will say to you and he will say to me, as he said to Peter and Andrew and Matthew and John, "Come, follow me." And the Lord Jesus will lead us into that perfect communion where he lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.